Hello and Merry Christmas. I am Bex and welcome to the Week Junior Show. I'm sitting here with three of the team from The Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. For our Christmas special, I'm joined by features editor Ben.
Hello.
Managing editor Vanessa.
Hello.
And writer Michael.
Hello.
This week, we'll be taking a look back at some of the highlights from this year's podcast. But before all that, seeing as it's Christmas, I want to find out, what is your favourite Christmas cracker joke, please? Ben, you can go first.
Why was the snowman looking through the carrots?
I don't know. Why was the snowman looking through the carrots?
He was picking his nose.
I don't know what expectations I had for these jokes.
Feel free to laugh louder, everybody.
Vanessa, what's yours?
Why has Santa been banned from sooty chimneys?
I don't know.
Because of his carbon footprints.
Ooh, very timely one. Excellent. And Michael, how about you?
Who hides in a bakery at Christmas?
I don't know who does hide in a bakery at Christmas.
A mince spy.
Why I didn't predict it. Mine is one I got emailed today, actually. It is, let me try and remember it. How do you ruin Stormzy's Christmas?
How?
You criticise his Christmas wrapping.
Great.
Yeah.
That was on brand for 2019.
Less and less laughter as we went through.
And that's because we're just joke fatigued, not because it was a bad joke to end it with, right, guys?
No.
Well...
Thank you, Ben. Merry Christmas to you too. Okay, so next up, we want to find out about the best fact that we've learned this year in the podcast.
Yeah, this is one I'm still struggling to get my head around. So your kidneys contain 140 miles of tubes in them, which is roughly the same distance as from here in London to Cardiff, or more than the distance from Edinburgh to Newcastle upon Tyne.
That there's a Roman mural from the 1st century AD that shows a man with a stick almost being guided by a dog.
I learned that according to a law that was made in the year 1324, the Queen technically owns all of the whales and dolphins in the waters around the UK.
My favourite fact is all about pizzas.
Yes,
did
please.
You know? In the US, an average of 350 pizza slices are eaten every second.
So I love the fact about an incredible type of slime mold, which has been nicknamed the blob, which can detect food and remember things even though it has no brain.
Right, we've learned loads of stuff this year. If you've got a fact that you think is brilliant that you've learned this year, drop us a line. You can find us on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. Next up, it's time to chat about our five favourite stories from this year. So, Ben, the Week Junior team has made a list of its five big stories of the year. How did you decide?
It was very difficult. It was even more difficult than me getting my Christmas wish list down to a manageable length. But we put the list together, we checked it once, we checked it twice, and we've picked our favourite stories, not necessarily the most important and biggest stories of the year, but the ones we found the most fun or the most interesting. And don't forget, the podcast that you're listening to now, it only started back in August, so we've only gone for stories since then. So we'd love to hear what you think about our favourite stories.
Okay, so Vanessa, what is the first story that you've picked from this year?
Well, this one comes from one of our earliest episodes when I found out about a survey that showed that many people couldn't recognise some of the UK's most loved wildlife species. Yes, this really surprised me, actually, that there's been a survey of 1,000 people aged between 5 and 16, and it's discovered that 83% of people couldn't recognise a bumblebee, and that 50% of people couldn't recognise a bluebell or a stinging nettle, and one in four didn't recognise what a robin is.
Wow.
I know. I find that really amazing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like our Week Junior readers are much more informed than that. And so I'd kind of interested to know, did they ask lots of very, very young people? Did they ask, where did they live? Were they all from cities? So I think, that's quite interesting to find out what questions they were asked and how old they were. Because I certainly am sure I knew about... certainly knew about stinging nettles when I was little because I stung myself.
Yeah.
So, so I was quite surprised by that.
That's quite interesting because I grew up in the city and the countryside. So I have some friends from the countryside who are basically farmers' children and
find it bizarre that I don't know about certain plants and what they're called. So I do feel really bad about not knowing all of them, but I know robins and I know stinging nettles, like you say, because I got stung by them. So if we've got any Week Junior listeners who want to learn more about the countryside and about the great outdoors, is there any good way to do it or to start off?
Well, I think go for a walk in the countryside. I mean, that's how I learned. I mean, I did ask people. I seem to remember my parents telling me about different plants, but not in any great detail. But I think just going out and having a look, and the internet is so much information with such brilliant photographs of things that if you see something you don't recognize, you can actually type in butterfly with brown splodges and an orange bit, and it will come up with lots and lots of photographs, and you can sort of scroll through them almost like sort of mugshots of criminals or something, and you can say, yes, I can identify that was in my garden.
The butterfly criminals of the world.
Exactly.
Getting ready to go. Fab, thank you very much, Vanessa.
Yeah, I'm still not too sure I actually know much about wildlife myself, but maybe I should do a little bit more research and go back and read some Week Junior issues. Next up, Michael, what have you got for us?
There are a lot of sporting stories this year, but one of my favourites came in September when we spoke about the Rugby World Cup.
This week, on Friday the 20th of September, the Rugby World Cup is going to start in Japan. And this is actually the first time that the Rugby World Cup has ever been held in an Asian country, which is quite exciting. England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland will be among the 20 countries competing. They'll play across 48 games to be in with a chance of competing in the final on the 2nd of November to become the best rugby team in the world.
Who do we think is going to win?
Well, New Zealand are probably the favourites. They've won the past two Rugby World Cups and have won three overall, which is more than any other country. Their rugby team is known as the All Blacks because they wear all black. Mm-hmm. Ireland as well are one of their potential favourites. They're currently ranked as the number one rugby team in the world, but in the World Cup, they've never actually got further than the quarterfinals, so they'll be hoping that they can go further than that this time round. England are actually the only European country to have won the Rugby World Cup, so they'll be hoping that they can maybe repeat those heroics from 2003. The other countries to have won it are Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. And actually, there's only ever been one final not to include Australia or New Zealand. So those are probably two to look out for as well.
So they're the ones to beat, Australia, New Zealand?
Absolutely, yeah. And actually, one interesting fact about Rugby World Cup history that isn't in the magazine, which isn't exclusive for podcast listeners, is that from the first World Cup in 1987 up until 2011, which was the last time they did it, they used the same whistle to start the opening match of every single World Cup. And that whistle was actually used for the first time in 1905. It's now in the New Zealand Rugby Museum, but they actually blew the same whistle from 1987 right through to 2011 to open the Rugby World Cup.
Now, Ben, what was one of your favourite stories?
In October, we spoke about some of the UK's funniest superstitions. Here's what was said then.
Yeah, so I want to talk about superstitions this week. The National Trust, which is a charity that looks after lots of very important places and buildings across the UK, is asking people to share their favourite superstitions or pieces of traditional folk tales, myths and legends and that sort of thing, so that they can be recorded so that future generations can enjoy them as much as we do now. And a superstition is a belief that people hold where certain actions will lead to either something good or something negative. And so I've got a little quiz for you, Bex, because you love a quiz.
I love quizzes so much.
I've got four superstitions here, okay. And I want you to tell me which one is made up.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Michael and Anna, you can play along too if you'd like. So A, if a child from Lancashire rides a bear, they will never catch an infection called whooping cough. That's option A.
I already love this quiz so much.
B, in Humberside, you must break the shell of a boiled egg to stop any passing witch from using it to escape to sea.
Uh-huh.
Option C, if the ravens at the Tower of London ever leave, the tower will fall and the kingdom will fall apart.
Right.
Or option D, if you say rabbit, rabbit on the first day of every month, you are guaranteed good luck.
So which one is not true?
Which one is not true?
Okay, so I say white rabbits at the beginning of every month. So
do
I think
you?
That's, yeah. So I think that one probably is true. I've heard the ravens one before, but the first two are bizarre. That's, and also specific to a region. So what do you guys reckon? Do you have any ideas?
I don't know. I have a feeling that the one about The witch and the eggshell?
Oh, really? I was going to go the bear.
How could that be true? They'd have to be tiny witches, if witches even exist.
Yeah, how about you, Michael? What do you think?
I'm thinking the bear as well.
Yeah, I just feel like there are not many bears in the area. I'm going to go bear. Yeah.
Bear? Okay. So the result is... they're all real. I've tricked you. I've misled you. But just how incredible the range of superstitions from across the UK. So if you have a favourite one, then you should get in touch with the National Trust. There's a link to their website in the magazine that you can share your favourite ones.
And what is fourth on the top five favourites list?
This is my all-time favourite story, and it's when we found out about a competition for fat bears.
My favourite story of the week is the lead story on our Animals and Environment page, where you will see a humongous bear as the main picture, which is Holly the brown bear. And this story is all about a fat bear competition that's been taking place in Alaska in the US. And it sounds really mean, but it's not at all. But basically, on social media, viewers can... watch bears as they go about their daily business and vote on which bear is the fattest bear. But there is a reason behind this, and it's to make people aware of just how much eating and bulking up bears have to do in order to hibernate for winter. And you probably do know, but if you don't, hibernating is when animals have to spend a long time resting and sleeping during the really cold months to conserve their energy before spring comes. And the winner was the gigantic bear that you can see on the page, who is called Holly.
Did she win anything for it? Did she win some extra food?
Some extra fat. Apparently she was really dedicated to fishing, eating as much salmon as she could, and that's why she won. But Kieran, you think there's something not quite right about this?
Yeah, there's a bit of a controversy here. So she did do an incredible effort, but she wasn't the biggest bear. So apparently there's another bear on the scene that managed to put on enough weight that it was the equivalent of two bears.
Wow.
By the end. So it's going to have a great hibernation. So Holly, perhaps not the biggest.
But did she win the public vote?
She won the public vote, sure. Which is what counts.
But it's quite extraordinary. So I didn't know this, but brown bears can hibernate for between 5 to 8 months. And some bears can go for up to 100 days without needing to eat, drink, or go to the toilet.
Fat bears. How could I forget about fat bears? Of course, that was a brilliant story. Michael, what has made number one in our big stories of the year?
One of the best science stories of the year came in October. It was all about life on the International Space Station, where history was made.
My favourite story this week is the first all-female spacewalk in history. Now, a spacewalk is basically any time that an astronaut spends outside of a vehicle in space. And so these two astronauts, Christina Cook and Jessica Meir, completed the first ever all-female spacewalk. And what they did was they were repairing a broken power control unit outside the International Space Station. Now, the first ever astronaut to go on a spacewalk was Alexei Leonov from Russia on the 18th of March 1965. Now, his spacewalk lasted for just 10 minutes. However, Christina Cook and Jessica Meir were out there for over 5 hours on this operation to repair this broken power control unit. They had to put a new one in place and then get the broken one, bring it back with them so that it could then later be taken back to Earth and people could look at it and find out what was wrong with it. And they had cameras on their helmets filming everything so people back on Earth could watch a live stream of it and watch all 5.5 hours of it if they wanted to. And they had to be attached to the outside of the space station with these handrails basically to stop them from sort of floating off into space. And it was actually supposed to happen about 7 months ago, the first all-female spacewalk, but unfortunately they didn't have the right spacesuits. They only had one spacesuit that fit Christina Cook, and another astronaut whose name was Anne McLean was supposed to join her, but they didn't have two medium-sized spacesuits, so she had to forego it to a male astronaut called Nick Hague. And actually on that point, a couple of days before the spacewalk, NASA, the US space agency, unveiled brand new spacesuits that will be used for the Artemis program that will be used to take the first woman on the moon by 2024. And these spacesuits will be customizable, so loads of different people can wear them, and they will offer greater flexibility as well. So it's a new step forward for spacesuits as well, and a big moment in kind of the history of space exploration.
Well, that's it for the Week Junior Show this week, and I guess from 2019 as well. We won't be here next week, but make sure you're subscribed so that you get the latest episode when we return on the 10th of January with the first one for 2020. We'd love to hear what you're most excited about for the year ahead, so grab a grown-up, record a little voice note for us and send it in to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk, and maybe, just maybe, you'll appear on the next episode of the show.
So goodbye and happy new year to everybody listening. And goodbye to Ben.
Goodbye.
Vanessa.
Bye.
And Michael.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk if you want to get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcast from. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.